against my thigh. Just figuring out logistics. Maybe I can just stop by for a little while?
Sounds good. Room 1614.
Perfect, I whisper. It's three doors down from mine. See you soon. Pressing to my feet, I inspect myself in the mirror and smooth out my hair before slipping out the door and toward his room, all the while formulating an excuse for if I happen to bump into anyone else on the way. Holt's room just so happens to be close to the vending machines at the end of the hall. I'm happy to blame my trip on a late-night potato chip craving. But for the second time tonight, luck is on my side, because I don't encounter another soul until Holt pulls open his door. "Hi," I say as his dark eyes roam over me, lingering in all his favorite places before finally settling on my face.
"You look incredible,"
he says, his voice low. I'm dressed in a pair of jeans and a peach-colored t-shirt with slip-ons on my feet. I washed off all my makeup earlier, but I'm grateful for his compliment all the same. "Thanks," I murmur, taking note of how the man fills out a pair of jeans and a t-shirt so well it should be a crime. I follow him into his room, which, unlike my suite, is a modest, standard hotel room. Just a mini fridge, a wingback chair in the corner, and of course, a neatly made bed. A bed that looms in the center of the room like a beacon, and at that sight, I have to remind myself to breathe. Before I can even manage a word, Holt circles his big hands around my waist, pulling me flush against him and claiming my mouth with a firm, commanding kiss that empties the breath from my lungs. Up until now, he's been so careful with me, towing every line until I invite him to cross it. But not tonight. Tonight, his kiss is hot and urgent, his tongue eagerly learning every inch of mine as he fills his hands with my backside, squeezing until I release a little moan. I can feel the pressure of his erection straining against my belly through his pants, and my heart rate nearly doubles.
"Sorry, been wanting to do that all day,"
he says in a low voice that makes my insides shiver with excitement.
Chapter 16. Holt. Eden looks incredible. I haven't seen her since our little conversation in the hallway earlier, and it strikes me again just how gorgeous she really is. This time she's dressed down in jeans and a t-shirt instead of one of her usual business suits, which excites me almost as much. But there's something I like about this relaxed version of her too, the one that not many people get to see. When she sauntered into my room tonight, I grabbed her and kissed her perfect mouth, unable to wait a second longer. My cock hardened instantly, and of course, Eden noticed. Now I've put a little distance between us, getting her a bottle of water from the mini fridge just so I have something to do with my hands that has nothing to do with ripping her clothes off. I told myself this wasn't going to happen tonight, and even though that kiss spiraled out of control fast, I'm determined not to sleep with her. Not yet, anyway. Because if I do, I'm afraid she's going to see right through me. See that this isn't some hot game to me. See that when I touch her, it's like her skin is something to be worshipped, and her body is the most precious gift in the world. I'm afraid she'll discover all the secrets I keep hidden away. And I can't let that happen. We sit on the bed together, and Eden takes a sip of her water before setting the bottle on the nightstand.
"Thank you for earlier,"
she says, her voice soft.
"With Alex, I know you were protecting me."
I nod, something inside me tightening. "I'll always protect you." My words are filled with meaning and purpose, and Eden doesn't fail to notice. Her eyes latch onto mine, and with a soft expression, she touches the back of my hand, the pads of her fingers caressing my calloused knuckles. A simple touch shouldn't be this electrifying, but it is, and I'm speechless. She leans in and kisses me, just a light press of her mouth to mine at first. When my lips part, her tongue sweeps inside against mine. Then she's kissing me the way I remember from all of my best memories. Her tongue touches mine, her mouth hot and needy, tiny whimpers in the back of her throat. I grow warm all over, and my cock jerks behind my zipper. It's never been this good with anyone else. Not even close. I need to get my head on straight. She came here wanting the hookup, not to rekindle our young love.
Get a clue, Rossi.
She's a woman under an enormous amount of pressure, a woman on the brink of a rebound. That's it. You're a temporary stop, just like you were before, here to lend some stress relief. Maybe an orgasm or two. It's then that I tell myself maybe, just maybe, it would be okay to indulge. Just for tonight. It doesn't have to mean anything. It can't. Deciding I can live with that, I guide her back onto the bed so she's lying against the pillows, and I hover over top of her. Her mouth is so perfect, and I can't get enough. As we kiss, her hands wander, caressing my biceps as I support my weight over her, running over the broad planes of my chest, then down my stomach until they settle at the waistband of my jeans. I can feel her hesitate for a moment before gathering her courage, and then she palms the firm ridge of my erection through the fabric. A low grunt pushes past my lips. I strip her of her t-shirt and then unbutton her jeans. Eden pushes her hands under my shirt, and I slip that off too. I push her thighs together only long enough to tug her jeans down and off. Then she parts her knees again, and the sight of her lying on my bed, wearing only her bra and panties, which are white and lacy, makes my breath catch. She looks good enough to eat. I kiss her lips, her collarbone, the top of each breast, then tug down the cups of her bra so I can suck and feast on her. She moans and brings one hand to my hair, gently raking her nails along my scalp. I run my fingers over the dip in her belly until I can slip them under the elastic of her panties and touch her perfect pussy. It's so soft and warm and wet, and I groan. "Halt!" she moans, her hips rocking into my hand. I can sense she's already close, whimpering softly as my fingers work. My cock is so hard it aches, and all the blood pumping to my groin has clouded my judgment. Continuing to caress her, I use my free hand to release my belt and open my pants. Taking myself in my hand, I stroke myself slowly once, needing a release so fucking badly it hurts. Eden and I exhale a shuddering breath at the same time.
"Let me,"
she murmurs. As I bend down to take her mouth, her greedy tongue matches mine stroke for stroke as she lifts her hips off the bed, pressing herself into my touch. Her hand slides up and down my shaft, and I'm sure I'm going to come too soon and ruin our good time. I force a deep breath into my lungs, fighting to get myself under control. I can't even blame it on overactive hormones like I could back when we first shared a bed all those years ago. My attraction to her has always been a powerful, dangerous thing, hell-bent on ruining everything for me. And this moment is one I've fantasized about and jacked off countless times too, as wrong as it is. Eden naked and panting, her body begging for mine, her kissable mouth saying my name as she comes apart.
"Halt!"
she breathes out my name on a moan.
"I'm going to come."
"Not yet," I say, my tone commanding. "I need my mouth on her first." I kiss a path down her neck to her full breasts, which I treat to soft kisses, making my way down her body past the dip in her belly until I can settle between her thighs. Eden touches my hair as I move the fabric of her panties to the side and treat her pussy to one long, slow lick, and she makes a choked sound. She tastes even better than I remember, and I groan low in my throat as my tongue makes greedy passes at her silken flesh. My mouth is everywhere at once, all over her sweetness, nipping at her inner thigh with my teeth, licking her in a steady rhythm over and over as I squeeze the base of my cock to fight off my desperate need to come. Her body quakes as she comes apart. It's a beautiful sight, and I don't let up. Her voice is rough as she climaxes, and I've never heard a more lovely or desperate sound as my name leaves her lips again. Eden is boneless and disoriented for a moment, and I love that it was me who put that sleepy, satisfied look on her face. She cuddles into my arms, laying her head on my chest as her heart rate slows. As much as I love holding her, my body's insistent reminder is difficult to ignore. My cock is still hard, and frankly, a little grumpy at being ignored. But then she seems to remember there's a steely erection pressed inconveniently between us, and she brings her hand to me again, stroking so slowly it takes my breath away.
Can I ask you something? Are you...
Her hand moves down torturously. Get it out, sweetheart.
Are you sleeping with anyone?
Shit. Now I feel like an asshole. She's trying to have a serious adult conversation with me, and I respond with some growly macho comment. Is all I manage, and I'm forced to clear my throat.
Because I was tested after Alex, and I'm clean.
Lifting her chin, I force her gaze to mine. I'm not sleeping with anyone, and I'm clean too. But we're not having sex tonight. I fight back a strange wave of emotion at the thought of finally being with her in that way after all these years. She looks a little taken aback by my comment, but the truth is, I'm just not ready to go there emotionally yet with her.
In that case, may I?
She asks sweetly, moving down the bed until she's perched between my parted thighs. Fuck yes. Those are the words that leap into my head, but thankfully something a little more articulate comes out of my mouth. Anything. She offers me a pleased smile before lowering her mouth to my groin and treating me to a slow lick. It's hot, and I love watching her. I shift, lifting onto one elbow, and move her hair from her face so I can watch her sucking on me. Fuck. I grunt, and Eden murmurs her approval. Your mouth feels so good, I say on a groan, petting her hair and tucking it behind one ear. The sight is erotic as hell, and I lose myself in the pleasure of it. She's perfect. The intensity of my release is unexpected. Normally I'm quiet in bed, so I'm surprised to hear the deep groan that rumbles in my chest and the sound of her name falling from my lips. My cock jerks in her mouth, but Eden doesn't let up, swallowing me until I'm spent and relaxed. Finally, she releases me and sits back on her heels.
That okay?
Fuck. I groan again and tug her onto my chest. She laughs softly and lets me hold her. You're incredible. I hold her close, wondering how long she'll lie with me like this. I'm sure she's about to get up and dress and make an excuse about going back to her own room. And while I do understand that, it doesn't mean I'm happy about letting her go. But then she sits up, pulling the sheet with her to cover her naked chest, and I can tell there's something else on her mind.
I was wondering about something.
Chapter 17. Eden. Holt said I could ask him anything, and lying here in bed with him, I believe him. I'm sleepy and completely satisfied, and apparently that's a recipe that makes me want to reminisce. I've just asked Holt about our night together way back in college, and now he's gone quiet on me. His chin dips and he presses a soft kiss to my forehead.
I thought it was obvious I enjoyed myself back then.
I smile in the darkness. Most of the light from outside is now gone, and there's only a soft lamp glowing dimly in the corner. That's good. I thought about that night often over the years. I'm not sure if I should have admitted that, but now that it's out there, I decide it's only fair. I wouldn't want to hide my truth from Holt.
So you never regretted it then?
His voice is low and husky. Surprise jolts through me. Regrets? What makes you say that?
You left that note,
he says, his low voice a little unsteady. With each word, it sounds like he's stepping around broken glass.
I worried that I'd hurt you or something. Wondered if you felt pressured or just didn't enjoy yourself. I tried to make the right decisions, respect your boundaries and all. But that note, you said it was all a mistake.
He studies my palm for a moment, then releases a sigh, his sad eyes meeting mine. At the time, I thought it was. My voice is soft, hesitant. I was inexperienced and so uncertain about what I wanted. Later, I realized the real mistake was running from your bed and into someone else's arms, I whisper. But I didn't know that then. I was young and stupid.
Hey.
He sits up, leveling me with a stern look.
You've never been stupid. You graduated magna cum laude. Stupid people don't do that.
Fair, I say, but then his words fully register, and the slightest smile tugs at my lips. But wait, how did you know I graduated magna cum laude? Did you check on me after you left Sutton? He lifts a shoulder, and if I'm not mistaken, the faintest flush appears on the apples of his cheeks.
Can't blame me for being curious about the gorgeous, mysterious girl who came into my life for one perfect night and then disappeared for good.
Not for good, it turns out, I murmur, nuzzling into his chest. It's a little dangerous to be this vulnerable with him, I admit. I have no idea where a man like Holt fits into my life. What I do know, however, is that being with him in this moment feels right, logistics aside. So I snuggle in a little tighter, enjoying the feel of his heartbeat on my cheek. But when I feel myself start to doze off, I know it's time to go. It's late, I say through a yawn. I'd better get back to my room. He sighs.
I wish you wouldn't.
I wish that too, but it's for the best. Reluctantly, I peel myself away from him, immediately missing his touch the moment it's gone. I collect my clothes from the end of the bed, and Holt does the same with his boxers, hiking them up over his hips before tugging on a pair of sweats from his suitcase. At the door, he treats me to another long, slow kiss. The kind that makes me wish I could say fuck it and crawl back into his bed for the night. There's nothing I'd love more than to spend the rest of the evening wrapped in his arms. But there's also nothing that would ruin my career quicker. So with one last squeeze of his hand, I slip out the door. Good night, Holt, I whisper. He smiles back.
Sweet dreams.
But we both know sweet won't even begin to describe what I'll be dreaming of. Chapter 18. Eden. I think I'm going to freeze to death. Gretchen pulls together the sides of her thick cardigan, frowning at me from across the wrought iron table. When I invited her to have lunch with me this afternoon, I may have omitted the detail that I reserved a table on the patio. And she hasn't stopped shivering from the moment we sat down. You're being dramatic, I tease, grabbing my phone and swiping open the weather app for evidence. See? 56 degrees. It's practically summer. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating, but so is she. Besides, with all the traveling I've been doing lately, I haven't gotten the chance to enjoy my favorite season in my favorite city. From our table at this Back Bay brunch spot, we have a stellar view of the public garden, where all the trees are blazing with bright yellows and deep reds. Fall in Boston is not to be missed. Maybe this is considered summer in Antarctica, Gretchen grumbles, warming up with a big sip of her chai tea. Remind me why I haven't moved to Bora Bora yet? Because there probably aren't a lot of tax accountant positions open in the tropics. I remind her. And you'd miss me too much. Based on how much you've been texting me during away games, I think you might actually explode if we were permanently located in different time zones. The mention of my travel schedule quickly takes her mind off the cold. Her eyes light up as she leans forward with both forearms planted on the table. Yeah, little miss, new zip code every weekend. How has everything been going? Pretty well, I sip my oat milk latte, dusting off the Titans scores I keep filed in the back of my mind. We lost 4-3 against Detroit, but Cleveland was a huge victory, 5-1. So, fingers crossed for Toronto tonight. It's sort of weird not being with the team this weekend, but it is nice to have some time off. Gretchen's frown is back and deeper than ever. I read the hockey blogs, Eden. I know the scores. What I want to know is what your scorecard looks like with you-know-who. She grins at me expectantly. We're interrupted by our waitress, delivering Gretchen's panini and my broccoli and cheddar soup. While my best friend picks the tomatoes out of her sandwich, I have a moment to choose my words. I knew this conversation was coming, but I didn't exactly plan a script. You're not getting out of that question, Gretchen says, pointing a sweet potato fry at me. What happened with you and Holt? A few things happened, I say slowly, dragging my spoon through my bowl and scooping up a heaping portion of soup. It's warm and luxurious on my tongue, but more importantly, it buys me a few more precious moments before having to tell my best friend how wrong her advice was. Turns out your idea to get him out of my system wasn't exactly effective. She arches a brow at me, urging me to continue. Go on. Well, against my better judgment, we hooked up twice. I say, my focus more on my soup than on her. Not sex, but, you know. My voice drops to a quiet murmur. Other stuff. And? She asks, how did said other stuff go? I sigh, looking down at the table between us. All that it did was make me want him more. I'm expecting another frown in response, but when I glance at Gretchen, her lips are curled in a devious, self-satisfied smirk, like a supervillain hatching a plan. I sort of had a feeling it would. What? My voice errs on the side of too loud for public conversation, but I'm too shocked to correct my volume. Then why did you tell me it would get him out of my system? She lifts a shoulder, a wicked gleam dancing through her green eyes. Because he's hot and you wouldn't have done it otherwise. A laugh of disbelief threatens to sneak past my lips. You're crazy, you know that? No, you're crazy, she says insistently. You're the one who made us sit outside in the cold today. I'm just being a good friend and making sure you get laid. This time, there's no restraining my laughter. I can't believe Gretchen, but with how absolutely incredible things with Holt have been, I probably should be thanking her right now. That is, as long as no one finds out about us. Otherwise, all this giddy excitement would blow up in my face and make everything about my position so much harder. I think the team is actually starting to respect me now. After I've had a few more spoonfuls of soup, my phone vibrates with a calendar reminder. 1 hour until I need to be at the arena. I swipe out of the notification, wave down the waitress, and ask for the check. Are you leaving? Gretchen asks, disappointed. You haven't even gotten to the juicy parts. We're hosting a kids' clinic at the arena today, I say. I have to be there early to give the opening remarks to a bunch of mini hockey legends in the making. Can't the mini hockey legends wait a little bit longer? She juts out her lower lip as far as it goes. You can't withhold details from me now. I can and I will, I say, grinning as I scribble my signature across the bottom of the check and slip my credit card back into my wallet. Gretchen's puppy dog eyes don't have power over me anymore, and even if they did, they can't compete with work obligations. Why don't you just get Aspen to do it? The kids won't know the difference between the team owner and the team owner's assistant, Gretchen points out. I roll my eyes. Sure, and then I'll just have Aspen run the whole team too, on top of managing my entire professional life. Even if Aspen is amazing at her job, that would hardly be fair. I'm already conscious of how many hours she's working, and it's a lot. Technically, that would make her Holt's employer, right? Not you? Maybe then you could bang him without any guilt. Gretchen's eyebrows jump up and down suggestively, but I shoot her a stern look and she stops. "Sorry, sorry," she grumbles, waving me off. "I'll take care of the tip. Tell the kiddos I said hi." "Thanks, Gretch. Gotta run." I smile, tossing in a wave as I exit the patio. It's a 10-minute walk back to my condo, just long enough for me to pop in my earbuds and listen to the first 3 songs on the playlist Holt shared with me. The gritty vocals and atmospheric guitar solos send adrenaline pulsing through my veins. He was right. This is the perfect pump-up music for any situation. By the time I make it home, I have 45 minutes until I have to be at the arena, just long enough to put the finishing touches on my speech. A few run-throughs in my bathroom mirror later, I'm feeling confident and ready. Maybe the playlist wasn't the only thing Holt was right about. As I rehearse the lines I wrote about believing in yourself and working as a team, I realize my words perfectly reflect what he said to me the other night. A team is more than just one player or one coach. It's a living, breathing organism made up of different essential parts. And if I take on the pressure of the entire Titans organization, I'm going to crumple. I have to trust others to do their part and focus on what's in front of me. And today, that's giving a speech to a bunch of eager 10-year-olds on skates. I've got this. I'm a win, and wins don't fail. Always win, no matter what. I repeat the family mantra in my head as I slip into a pair of black booties and my camel-colored topcoat, giving the jeans and sweater I wore to lunch a bit of a professional edge. Not that these kids would mind if I showed up in an oversized hockey jersey, but this outfit makes me look as unstoppable as I feel right now. While I'm applying a fresh coat of lipstick, my phone buzzes with another calendar reminder. Only 20 minutes until speech time. Time to hustle. Luckily, there's barely a heel on these booties, and I'm in the parking garage and slipping into my SUV in no time, rehearsing my speech in my head as I back out of the garage. Ever since I was a little girl, hockey has been an important part of my crunch. My stomach lurches back against my spine at the sound of metal crashing against metal. Oh God, no, not right now. This can't be happening. I squeeze my eyes shut, sucking in a breath through gritted teeth. But I can't hide from what I've done forever, so I pry one eye open, then the other, turning cautiously to peek over one shoulder to assess the damage. Shit. I hit the freaking garage door. Way to go, Eden. A string of curse words pile up in my throat as I climb out of my car to inspect the damage on the garage door. I've seen worse, but I've also sure as hell seen better. When I click the button on the fob provided by the condo building to open the door, there's a harsh, gear-grinding sound, but no movement. Looks like my SUV isn't going anywhere, and neither am I. So much for my speech to the next generation of Titans. My stomach churns with a nauseating combination of frustration and anger, mixed with a heavy dose of self-doubt. Just when I was starting to feel confident in my role, I go and do something completely stupid. I can't even back out of my own parking garage without screwing it up, and I'm supposed to be in charge of a pro hockey team? As always, I do the only thing I know how to do in times like these. I pace. And then I pull my phone from my coat pocket and call the first person who comes to mind.
Hello?
Just the sound of Holt's low, gravelly voice on the other end of the line brings my panic down from a 10 to a 7. I need your help, I whisper, chewing anxiously at my lip as I begin my explanation about my car being stuck. But before I can say another word, he speaks.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
His voice is cool and calm, providing instant relief to my tightly wound system. Either he was nearby or he has no regard for speed limits, because hardly 5 minutes pass before Holt ducks under the partially open door of the garage. I'm leaning against the cold concrete wall, chomping on a hangnail, when he slips an arm around my waist, pressing a kiss into my hair.
Accident, huh?
I nod, trying to wrestle back the tears welling up in my eyes. I don't know if I'm crying because of the car or the fact that he was so quick to rush to my rescue. But either way, he wipes my tears with his thumbs, then pulls me against his chest, smoothing my hair with his palm.
It's going to be okay, Eden. It's just a little accident. Everyone is entitled to a few mistakes now and then.
The tears are coming steadily now, which makes me feel like even more of an idiot. It's just a little mistake, but it's the last thing I needed right now. I feel so stupid, I manage to choke out through sniffles. He pulls me in again, letting me break down for just a moment in his arms. But I guess Holt Rossi is accepting no pity parties today, because as soon as my breaths slow down, he unhooks his keys from his belt loop, unfurling my fist to place them in my palm.
Don't feel stupid. It could have happened to anyone. Breathe, Eden. This is no big deal. We'll get it fixed, okay?
I nod, starting to believe him. I'm supposed to be giving a speech for the kids' clinic at the arena and I check my watch, drawing a big breath. 15 minutes.
My car's outside. Take it.
My brow creases and my tears subside. But then how will you? He shakes his head adamantly.
Nope, no arguing, just do it. You've got kids waiting for you, and I know a repairman I can call. Give me your keys. I'll wait here while it gets handled.
Reluctant, I place my key ring in his big palm. Are you sure about this? He gives me a firm nod, wiping the last of my tears away.
Now go inspire the hell out of those kids.
Thank you, I sputter, a hint of a smile pulling at my lips. I really can't thank you enough for all of... Before I can finish the thought, he cuts me off with a firm, silencing kiss that warms every inch of my body.
Go wow 'em, sweetheart,
he whispers, giving my shoulder a reassuring squeeze. Okay, I whisper back, then hurry out to his car, wondering how and why he seems to know just the right things to say to make everything seem okay. The second I step out of the stadium, I dig my phone from my pocket and dial Holt. He picks up on the first ring.
Hey, how'd it go?
So well. I sigh, sandwiching my phone between my ear and my shoulder as I fish his car keys from my purse. The kids were super sweet and attentive. I'd love to tell you about it over dinner if you don't have plans. This man was my own personal superhero today. The least I can do is feed him.
Dinner sounds great.
I can hear his smile through the phone, and I smile back, knowing I'll get to see him in just a few minutes. Perfect. I'll order something for delivery. Chinese sound okay? We agree on 2 orders of Kung Pao chicken, fried rice, and egg rolls, and he waits on the line while I tap our order into an app. The site says it'll be there in 20. Meet you in the lobby?
Done and done,
he says.
See you soon.
If I were driving my own car, I'd probably speed the whole way home with how eager I am to see him. But since I've already been in 1 fender bender today, I hug the right lane the whole way back to my condo. When I pull up to the parking garage, I'm surprised to see that the garage door is already fixed and fully operational. And when I drive past my own car, the dent on the back bumper is less severe than I remember. Not saying that the car accident was a good thing, but between the minimal damage and the very sexy dinner date I've secured as a result of the ordeal, I feel as though things have balanced out nicely. When I enter my building, Holt's imposing figure makes him easy to spot right away. While the other residents filter in and out of the elevators, he stands in the very center of the lobby, a slight grin on his mouth and a plastic bag full of small white takeout boxes dangling from his fingers. He greets me by pressing a quick kiss against my cheekbone. Instantly, my temperature shoots up several degrees. He's never kissed me in public before, and even if it's just on the cheek, I'm amazed by how special it makes me feel. Maybe my instincts should have prompted me to scan the lobby for onlookers, or worse yet, a camera-happy blogger ready to report on any newsworthy move I might make. But none of that crosses my mind until we're unpacking our dinner on my kitchen island, and by then, it's too late anyway. Being with Holt makes all my worries subside. He's magical that way. I can't believe the garage door is already fixed, I say as I press onto my tiptoes, grabbing two square white plates from my cabinet. This dinner isn't the fanciest thank you in the world, so the least I can do is serve it on real plates.
I told you I know a repairman,
Holt says.
He's good.
If he got that whole project done in under 2 hours, he's not just good. He's superhuman. I really can't thank you enough.
This is as good of a thank you as a man could ever want.
Holt smiles, jutting a thumb toward the takeout boxes. Do you want to watch the game while we eat? Puck drop is in 10.
Sure,
he says.
Let's do it.
I'm usually too much of a neat freak to eat such messy food anywhere other than the table, but nothing in the world sounds better than cozying up on the couch with Holt with dinner and a game we're predicted to win. With full plates, we assume the same spots on the couch as the last time Holt was here, the night of the big team dinner. But unlike that night, there's no awkwardness, no readjusting to each other. Instead, we sit close enough that my thigh presses against his, and he listens attentively as I recount my afternoon with the best and brightest young hockey players in Boston. I swear, some of these 10-year-olds can skate as well as our players, I say with a laugh.
You'll be drafting those same kids in 10 years,
he points out.
Just you wait.
As I'm turning that thought over, Holt slips his fingers between mine. His palm is warm and rough with calluses, and my heart rate quickens as he runs his thumb along the back of my hand. I told Gretchen, and myself, that all I wanted was some hot, sweaty fun. So why are my emotions all over the freaking place right now? Because of the history Holt and I share? That deep, however brief connection that ended so quickly? I take a moment trying to breathe deeply and calm down before I embarrass myself with a display of emotion that has no place in a casual relationship like this one. Get it together, Eden. Maybe I'm just feeling grateful that he saved me earlier in my jam. That has to be it.
I'm proud of you for bouncing back so quickly after your accident,
Holt says, unaware of my inner dialogue.
I'll bet your speech made those kids whole year.
I couldn't have done it without you, I say truthfully, blinking up at him with an appreciative smile. And not just because you let me borrow your car. The things you said to me the other night about working as a team and just handling my own role, it really helped me.
Yeah?
His full lips tick upward.
I'm happy to help you with anything you need.
Just the suggestion sends heat flooding through my system. You sure? I whisper, wetting my lower lip with a sweep of my tongue. Because there's something pretty important I need your help with right now.
Yeah, anything for you.
My free hand floats to the stubble on his cheek, taking him in. Chiseled jaw, gray eyes, and velvety lips. I need you to kiss me right now.
I think I can take care of that.
His head tilts and his warm, eager lips meet mine in a slow, sweet kiss that prompts every hair on my arms to stand on end. One gentle kiss becomes two, and when he touches his tongue against my lips, they part for him, welcoming him in. Soon his big hands are in my hair, pulling me close to him as our tongues intertwine in an easy dance that only we know the steps to. When he breaks away, I lean in again, capturing his mouth with mine. Nothing could pull me away from him right now.
Eden, honey, knock, knock.
Well, allow me to immediately take that back. There's one thing. One person, rather, who could make me leap a full foot away from this man, and she just waltzed through the door.
Mom?
I stutter, jumping to my feet and quickly finger-combing my hair.
What the heck are you doing here?
Holt's eyes widen as he silently mouths a question.
Did you know she was coming?
I shake my head, then plaster on a smile as my mother's heels click around the corner. Her brows shoot up and she presses a hand to her chest when she sees I'm not alone.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Didn't the front desk notify you that I was coming up?
My phone is still in my purse, I say, instantly regretting that choice. Unless I'm working, I don't really text anyone other than Gretchen and Holt these days. I didn't even think to grab it.
That's very concerning, she murmurs through pursed lips. Anyone could wander in here off the streets.
She quickly appraises Holt, then turns her thin-lipped frown back to me. I promise I've never had a security issue, I tell her, biting back the until now that I'd like to tack onto that statement. I love my mother, I really do, but now is not the time for a surprise visit.
I heard you weren't traveling with the team tonight and thought I'd swing by to say hello. I didn't realize you already had company.
Well, I guess we're doing introductions now. Love that for me. This is Holt Rossi. He's head of the security firm we hired on for the Titans this year. I gesture to Holt and he shoves up from the couch, clearing his throat before extending a hand to her.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Ms. Nguyen.
She places her hand in his, confusion written all over her small features.
I go by Baker now.
And then the crease in her brow deepens.
I hadn't heard about additional security.
Just an extra precaution for Eden,
Holt says gruffly, then shifts his gaze back to me.
I should get going. Glad we could talk through those security guidelines, ma'am.
I offer him a sad smile. As grateful as I am that he's sparing us any further awkwardness by playing it professional, a pang of guilt twinges in my chest that he feels like he has to lie about why he's here.
Thanks for everything, Holt. Have a great evening, my mother says, her tone sweet and genuine.
But before Holt can leave, she turns back to me with a sharp frown.
Eden, honey, I thought you took the weekend off. Why are you bringing work home with you? You need time off. Maybe you need a date.
Little does she know that she just interrupted one.
Chapter 19. Holt. When my phone chimes with another text, I assume it's Madden again. He and I have been going back and forth about this week's schedule, in addition to him giving me a relentless ribbing over his perceived crush I have on Eden. Little does he know how true his words were, though I played it off well. But when I check the screen, it's not a text from Madden. It's Eden. I made it home from her place a little while ago so she could visit with her mom. Her text is a welcome distraction from work. I park my ass on the stool in the kitchen and read her note.
I'm so sorry about my mom.
That's okay. I write back. Little bubbles bounce on my screen for a few seconds.
I know she can be a bit much.
I type out my reply with a smirk on my lips. Maybe she was right. Maybe you do need a date.
Ha ha,
she writes. Then she adds a laughing face emoji. Alone in my kitchen, I chuckle and take another sip from the bottle of water sitting beside me. Another text comes through from Madden, but I ignore it. Then I dial Eden's number, and she answers on the first ring.
Hey.
She sounds slightly breathless, or maybe just surprised that I called instead of replying to her text. But I'm not really a texting kind of guy. I'm serious about that date. Could I take you out sometime? She's quiet for a second, and I wonder what she's thinking.
We've never had one of those.
I know. I thought it might be time. My voice is steady, but inside I feel less certain. And for a second, a flash of insecurity hits me and doubt creeps in. Maybe she doesn't want to go out with you. Maybe you're better off being her dirty little secret. Maybe she doesn't want to be seen with me in public. But when she speaks again, I can tell she's smiling.
I'm free tomorrow.
I smile too. Perfect. It's a date. Would six work? Eden chuckles.
Yes. What did you have in mind?
I run a hand through my hair, still grinning. God, this is fun. It's a surprise,
but I promise it won't involve hockey or shellfish. She laughs.
Okay, that sounds perfect.
I spend the entire next day cleaning my apartment, because it's rare that I have visitors. Since I thought Eden might like something more low-key, I invited her over to my place tonight and told her I'd cook for her. A chill night in sounded like a good idea at the time, but now I'm second-guessing myself. Surveying my work, I let out a sigh. It's not as nice as Eden's condo, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be self-conscious about it. My apartment is a small one-bedroom in a good location, and the fact that the kitchen isn't outfitted with sleek stainless steel or all the latest gadgets doesn't bother me. I have what I need, and not a thing more. Plus, I have a kick-ass balcony that I've decorated with cushions and white string lights and warm flannel blankets, where I pictured us cuddled together under the stars as I cleaned today. God, I sound like a sap, and I don't even care. My sheets have been washed, just in case things progress to the bedroom, and I even made sure to squeeze in some manscaping. So basically, I'm 1,000% ready for this date tonight. My phone rings, and for a second, I think it might be Eden. Maybe something came up at the last minute. Maybe she needs to cancel. I sure as hell hope not.
But when I check the screen, it's not Eden's name I see. It's my mom's.
My stomach sinks as I stab the answer button with my thumb. Hello? There's irritation in my voice, but it's nothing compared to the frustration I feel at the next words out of my mother's mouth.
Chapter 20. Eden. I park outside Holt's building at exactly 6 o'clock with a smile on my lips. I've never been here before, but I've been almost giddy with excitement all day. First, I spent a ridiculous amount of time getting ready, even though he promised it was a very casual date at his place. After a lengthy shower where I made sure to shave all the important parts, I blew out my hair and did my makeup with care. Now I'm dressed in a pair of slim-fit dark jeans, and since the fall air is cool enough to warrant it, my favorite deep V-neck sweater and creamy oatmeal with what I'm hoping will be my secret weapon underneath, a push-up bra and matching panties in black satin. I can only imagine Holt's expression when he discovers them. With a deep breath, I head up the stairs to the apartment Holt indicated in his last text. I'm filled with anticipation. Maybe it's because, aside from Alex, I haven't dated much. Or maybe I had such a surprisingly good time with Holt on the road, I'm eager for more time with the man I can't stop thinking about. I find his unit at the end of the hall and pause at his door to knock, my lips already twitching with the hint of a smile. After waiting about a minute with no answer, I press my ear to the door. It's quiet inside, no voices or sounds of music, so I knock again. As I wait, my smile starts to fade. Still nothing. I twist the doorknob and, finding it unlocked, peek my head inside. Holt, I call as I step through the doorway. His place is compact but clean and organized. It suits him. Nothing is out of place, and I can picture him here, rifling through the mail on the counter after work or doing some push-ups in the center of the living room floor. After a quick glance around the living room with its large gray couch and flat-screen TV, I spot him on the balcony outside, just beyond the glass doors at the end of the living room. He's facing away from me, his hands gripping the railing and his head tipped down as though he's studying his feet. My good mood from moments ago is gone. Seeing him looking distressed like this brings a whole new set of emotions crashing through me, and a whole lot of confusion. Suddenly, Holt turns, and when he registers me here, standing in his living room, a look of uncertainty crosses his features. His posture is stiff, his shoulders set back as he stalks toward me. There's something in his eyes I've never seen before. An empty, haunted look. I feel like I've done something wrong, but I have no idea what. It's disorienting. I swallow past the nerves in my throat, wondering what's happened. What's brought about this change in him? But I can do nothing but wait because Holt doesn't seem in a hurry to fill me in. I shouldn't be here. That's the first thought that flits through my brain. My heart pounds out a heavy rhythm as he comes closer, stopping beside the sofa where I stand. He lets out a heavy sigh and fists his hands at his sides. Is everything okay? With a curt nod, he continues appraising me coolly, but he offers nothing else. A wealth of emotions are hidden in his gaze, but I couldn't begin to tell you what he's feeling. Mostly there's a vacant look that makes my stomach tighten. Because I feel like something's wrong, I say. He gives his head a cursory shake.
It's fine.
I don't feel fine. I feel like I could cry, and I don't even know why. If everything's going to fall apart around me, I'd at least want to know the reason why. I deserve that much. But he won't even look at me, and a shiver creeps over my skin. I wrap my arms around myself, preparing for the worst. Holt stays silent, though, so I have no clue where his head is at. Beyond him, I peer out at the balcony, with two inviting lounge chairs complete with plush cushions and Sherpa-lined flannel blankets. Flickering candles and a string of white twinkle lights complete the look. It's romantic as all get out, but the effort of it doesn't match with the stony-faced man I see standing before me. Well, I pause, clearing my throat. If something's come up or now is a bad time, I can just—
It's fine.
He mutters again, but he doesn't meet my gaze. It stings more than I care to admit. Tears blur my eyes, but I refuse to cry. Where is the man who swept me into his arms and kissed me senseless the moment I entered his hotel room? Where is the man I cuddled with after our steamy session in that hotel bed? I sensed he didn't want to let me go that night, and now it's the complete opposite. It's like he doesn't want me here. I have no idea what could have possibly changed since he invited me over last night. I'm sorry, I don't know if you've changed your mind or— I take a step back and he doesn't try to stop me. I think I'll just go, I manage to say, my voice a little shaky. Even as I say the words, he looks detached, his eyes looking anywhere but directly at me. A hot flood of anger and rejection rage inside me. What a dick. Why couldn't he just be honest and tell me he isn't interested? I suddenly feel so foolish for my wide-eyed optimism about how tonight would unfold. I blow-dried my hair, wore my best lingerie, but fuck this. I'm not going to beg for any man's attention. I have more self-respect than that. With purposeful strides, I head for the door, but three steps in and Holt catches me around the waist.
Eden.
My name on his lips is rough, almost broken. It guts me. I turn to face him. What?
I'm sorry.
He exhales slowly, looking pained.
Let me explain.
What happened? I hate the broken sound of my voice, but I'm near tears and barely holding it together.
My mom called, just before you came.
I hear his words, but they make no sense. I don't understand what one thing has to do with the other. Okay. When he doesn't say anything else, I begin to soften. Is everything okay? He runs one hand over the day-old stubble on his jaw.
Yes and no. Do you want to sit down?
I hesitate and then decide I'm being a terrible guest. Clearly something is wrong to make Holt react this way. Deciding to show him compassion, even when I feel the need to guard my heart, I gesture to the sofa. Let's sit. He follows me to the couch and takes the seat beside me. With a heavy exhale, Holt looks down at the floor.
I'm sorry I ruined our date.
He looks like a man who has a lot on his mind, and my heart goes out to him. Will you tell me the reason a therapist gave you that book? He looks somewhat surprised by my question, but he turns to me and meets my eyes.
We're similar in that we take on too much. I don't own a hockey franchise, but at that time, when I went to the therapist, I had the weight of the world on my shoulders in other ways. Decided it might help if I talked to someone.
I take his big, rough hand and squeeze. You can tell me, Holt. He clears his throat and shifts uncomfortably.
My mom is an addict. She's been addicted to pain pills for as long as I can remember.
It's the last thing in the world I expected him to say. I recall him telling me about his shaky family connections, but he never mentioned drug use. I sensed that they just weren't all that close. I never suspected trauma, and it makes me ache for him. It also makes me understand him a bit more, why he's so guarded. He's no doubt been through some hard times.
A few years ago, I got so burned out and tired and depressed from always having to be the one to take care of her. Picking up the pieces for the thousandth time without knowing if anything can ever be fixed is mentally exhausting.
I nod reassuringly and wait for him to continue.
I decided to go and talk to someone. She made me see that I play one small role, being a good son. But beyond that, my mom's sobriety, the costs for rehab, all of it wasn't my responsibility.
It sounds like it was good advice. He nods.
Yeah, I guess.
So what happened tonight? Is she okay? With a sorrowful look, he meets my gaze.
She's been in and out of rehab many times. Tonight she had a relapse.
Is she okay? I hear myself asking. He nods.
For now, yes, I guess so.
With a heavy sigh, he puts his head in his hands.
It's just such a mess.
I press a hand to his shoulder and rub, not knowing what else to do. A moment later, he opens his eyes and looks over at me.
Thanks. I'm sorry about all of this.
Shaking my head, I correct him. You have nothing to be sorry for. My emotions are all over the place. First, there's a flooding sense of relief that he hasn't rejected me, but it's short-lived because his mother's situation sounds grim. I listen as he fills me in on his childhood, on what it was like growing up with a mom addicted to drugs, and he holds little back. After a little while, I wrap Holt in a big hug, which he returns. We stay like that for a few minutes, and when we pull back, I feel calmer. I hope he does too. We decide to pour some wine and order a pizza because the meal he planned to make tonight has been long forgotten. And I am more than okay with that because pizza and Holt, it's a win-win. We refill our wine glasses and take our slices on paper plates out to the balcony that looks so inviting. And it is. As we settle under blankets, little lights twinkle around us. Our conversations tonight have turned deeper, and even though I feel for him, I actually love that he's sharing part of himself with me. And it's far from one-sided. I share memories from my childhood, too, about my dad's run for office and my parents' later divorce. Ugh, that was rough. As was my breakup with Alex, which we touch on briefly. But then Holt changes the subject, and I'm grateful.